have to do this and this so that you can do this, and that way you get out of this problem and that problem. And that's the world system. It's a constantly changing, corrupt world that we live in. I mean, it's definitely corrupt. Look at our politicians. We are run by some of the most corrupt people in the history of mankind. The Omars of the world, and the Talibs, and the AOC, and most of them have got the IQ of about 50. I had some students on my special need buses over the years that were smarter than these people are. I mean, they think that World War II is World War 11. Well, I don't know what happened to the other world wars between, you know, 3 and 10. And what gets me is people want that type of leadership. I don't. I need some leadership that makes sense. Why our Lord Jesus makes sense. In chapter 16, he mentions marriage and divorce in one verse. But before that, he has one section that he mentions, you cannot serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. And in the Old Testament, we saw in Zephaniah today, there's a lot of those people, but they are to be warned. They've got to understand, you can't serve God, you can't serve the Lord and Molech. You cannot do that. It doesn't happen. You and I are finite, simple beings. I didn't say anything about simpletons, okay? But there's plenty of simpletons in leadership. A lot of simpletons in the church. A lot of simpletons trying to tell you what the Bible says. Well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that, and this happens, and that happens, and boy, it's just crazy. Why? Then he mentions the true story of Lazarus and the rich man. And for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the lessons, the similarities, the differences, the doctrine of it. The doctrine of the usage of all of the Word of God. I had a gentleman at the golf courses out mowing, and he wanted to stop me, and he had a revelation from God. He told me, he says, I just want you to know I had a revelation from Yahweh. I said, okay, well, what was your new revelation? Did you know that the New Testament is not the New Testament? Okay, go on. Because I'm just waiting on what he's got to say. And he said a few other words and this and that. And he tried to prove to me that the New Testament is still part of the Old Testament. We have the New Testament to come. I said, okay, Tim, I see what you're trying to say, but what do you do with this verse? And what do you do with that verse? And how there is no new revelation? And how do you explain that? Well, I haven't got to that far yet. Problem is, he's been listening to someone else rather than to the Word of God. But the rich man and the need of Moses and the prophets. Then we also see the fact that hell is real. He lifts up his eyes in torments. He's begging for water because he's in this flame. Did you notice he didn't ask to be taken out of it? That hit me. I would think that would be my first thing. Lord Jesus, what do I got to do to get out of here? Now at that point, we know from Scripture that it's too late. And many of the old preachers would say it's eternally too late. Because you burn in that flame. Did y'all know that that rich man's still burning in the flame? And Lazarus is still enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus? Paradise being Abraham's bosom there, that's paradise. They had not received the promise yet. The Lord Jesus taking his blood to heaven and being the fulfillment of God's promise, held captivity captive. He took them out of there into heaven's glory. We see that from Scripture now. The rich man never asked to be brought out of that. And that's the way most lost folk are, if not all. Well, what do I do to get out of it? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I found out how to get out of that. But I also found out that it wasn't me that pulled me out of it. It wasn't me that could take me out of it. It's not me that saves me. It has to be the Lord Jesus. So in the rich man, we saw some tremendous doctrine about that true story. Now, this morning, he's still teaching. If you notice in chapter 17 and verse number 1, then said he unto his disciples, who's the Lord speaking to here? Is he speaking to the collective? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes. Is he speaking to the businessmen? Is he speaking to the publicans? Who is he speaking here to? He's speaking to the disciple. Disciples, hear this. It is impossible, but the offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. What offenses are we speaking about here? Well, just hang on, and I'll get to that. It were better for him that a millstone hanging about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. And he starts verse 3 with, take heed to yourselves. Now, in the next couple of verses, he's speaking about forgiveness, which we'll get to next week. But for now, he's getting with them that the world system, serving two masters, and the reality of hell are there. These influences will either encourage to follow the Lord Jesus or the world system. He's mentioning these offenses, these stumbling blocks, these problems that can occur. Because the rich man now says, hey, can you send someone from the grave to tell my family? Why? He knows how he has influenced his family. I don't want anybody going there. And now the Lord looks at the disciples and say, look, you got to understand, you'll either influence people, you will either offend people in such a way, you will become a stumbling block to them that they either wind up in the gates of hell, in the fires of hell, or they will believe on me. Simple as that. When you first read that, it's like, what in the world? But when you start adding 16 and 17 together, you understand that these are influences. He mentions in verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than should offend one of these little ones. Now, we will go to this passage and we will speak harshly to the pedophile. Cultures have changed over the years where a 13 and 14-year-old girl were married. They were given here and given there. There are some states that you can be married at 16. I think Michigan's at 18. There are some, excuse me, states like Kentucky where it's still legal at 16 to get married. Now, I don't know about y'all, but at 16, I don't know if I had any sense. Anybody else like that? Of course, I know some of y'all are in your 50s, 60s, and 70s and may not have any sense either. I don't know. I'm just messing. You know, I almost brought up the idea of being a youper, but I thought I would just calm down on that today on the Southern Canadian brethren that we have. But beloved, offenses. So who did the rich man influence when he was on this earth? Who was influenced? Who did Lazarus influence? Now everybody kind of shoved him aside and threw him aside. You have to understand that turn signals are optional. How are you influencing people? Are you influencing them to let them know where you are going? Are you influencing them to the point where they want to believe on the Lord Jesus? You say, I have something to do with that? People will want what you've got if you've got it. I know that to be true. A lot of people want the dollar. A lot of people want the car. A lot of people want the clothing. A lot of people want the status. A lot of people want the power, and they're willing to stomp on people to get there. What kind of influence do you have? Now, we will use chapter 2, as I said, for the pedophile. And isn't that nasty? That's one of the things they're having in Sharia law, especially over here in Dearbornistan, in the United States of America. There's one gentleman, and I'm sure that this is one of many, that has taken on four wives, and all of them are under the marrying age in the state of Michigan. Now, I'm going to stop and say this. Sharia law and the Muslims is diametrically opposed to the U.S. Constitution and American ideals. They have four wives. Now, if you talk to the Mormon, that's why the Mormon only goes into certain areas where polygamy is allowed. And anybody who wants more than one wife is an absolute moronic, retarded idiot. Amen. Yep.
Well, that can be said about wanting more than one husband.
You're right about that, ladies. God forbid you had two husbands and they could always prove you wrong. Did I say that out loud? But no, truthfully, that's against the ideals of America. What is happening in our country, the corrupt and nasty, nasty Democrat and the worthless wimps in the Republican Party, they've allowed so much troubles. They are creating offenses in the United States of America for you and I. It may seem harder today, but anytime you've got God with you, and I'm talking about truly right with Him and with you, you'll find that you'll always have what you need for eggs. You'll always have the fuel to get to church. There is no excuses. God has never let me down making sure I had a gallon of gasoline to get where I needed. Now, what I'm thankful for is I now can walk 75 yards and I'm at church. Some people drive. Mama Ward drove over 300 miles to come see her favorite preacher. He's a legend in his own mind. Amen. But turn signals are optional. How do you influence people on the road? Oh, my word. Every now and then, just to take my brain out of gear, I'll go over on Instagram and I'll start watching some of them dash cams. Pray for the truck drivers. Now, I know there's a certain small percentage of truck drivers that don't need to be on the road. I totally agree with that. But how many people behind a wheel is a lot more than how many truck drivers behind a wheel that ought not be on the road. People doing 100 miles an hour and this and that and zigging in and out of traffic, or people putting on their brakes at the wrong place and wanting to turn left when all you can do is turn right. Boy, I tell you what, I've seen some days ruined and some cars flipped. Because it just seems like common sense is even optional. Bible sense is optional. Man, growing up, I thought Bible sense was the only sense you're supposed to have. Knowing what to wear and where to wear it and knowing how to talk. I witnessed to a young man, and it was just cuss word after cuss word after cuss word and talking with him. And then he finally said, you know, you've not said anything like that. I said, no, I've allowed God to make me different. I said, a real man doesn't have to use those words to prove his manhood. And he's a young man, 18, 19 years of age. And he works at the golf course, and he doesn't really like me all that well because he has to. Jeff Hilbert, our superintendent, now y'all, Dave's around, clean up your language. And he's strong about that. And I said, you know what's amazing is Jack Nicklaus said that, probably one of the greatest golfers of all time. He said this. He said, I go to golf tournaments, and he and his wife, been married 60-some years. Now, just a blessing. But he says, we can only sit there for a little bit because the language is coming out of these golfers' mouths that is horrible. Well, that's in everything anymore. Everywhere. The golf world, the football world, the basketball world. And you know what's a shame? Is it's crept in and even into Christianity. Now, I will tell you this, growing up the way I grew up, I have to be careful. And sometimes I fail. Anybody else fail in here? That's why stink, junk, and idiot are the three main words I like to use. Because if I don't, I'll wind up using words I shouldn't. That's just one area of influence. But if you read the Word of God and study the Word of God, you'll notice that the Word of God never cusses like that. Oh, but it uses the word bastard. Well, you've got to understand that the English definition of the word bastard is an illegitimate child. And how many children are born out of wedlock in the last 50, 100, and 200 years? Then the word ass is used. That's a beast of burden, that old mule, that old country mule. I have no problem with what's in the scriptures. What has happened is the society has vulgarized it, manipulated it, influenced the definition that is. You want to know one of the worst cuss words I hear anymore? The word politician. Now, y'all thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Perverts. Dirty-minded people. When I was in Mississippi, I noticed this idea of cuss word in a shirt and tie and a suit and tie. The folks in Mississippi, where we were at in Houston, and I've told you before, if you showed up with shirt and tie on, you're the banker, undertaker, and a lawyer, and neither one of them had any kind of good news. So I had gotten out of my Pensacola garb, and I'd wear a polo or something and maybe a golf pant or a khaki pant or something. And that's what I would go knocking doors and visiting. And I noticed I got a lot further along than I did with a tie. Influence. if I was to show up with messy hair. Y'all aren't laughing with me? And some of y'all need a good shot of caffeine. Amen? I got a Monster over in the refrigerator. I usually drink a half a Monster or a quarter of a Monster, and I set it in there. It takes me 3 or 4 days to drink one. But it only takes me about 15 minutes on a good cup of coffee, Brother Kyle. Brother Ray. Amen. Kenny, I know you're getting there. Anyway, where was I at in the message, brother? No, I'm just kidding. Influences. Influences. How do you influence others? Should there be a millstone hanged about your neck and cast into the sea? Or would the Lord Jesus see you as a good influence? Remember, turn signals are optional. I'm kind of hoping they're telling me they're going to turn right into McDonald's a lot sooner than they do. But sometimes they don't. God forbid you're on the highway doing 70 mile an hour, 60 mile an hour, and somebody wants to make a right turn all of a sudden. I have seen some things. Even the days of driving for Dean Transportation and being out on the highway, just some craziness. People going wrong way, going westbound on an eastbound lane. Y'all understand that? Baby, that's when somebody comes at you and you're in that lane. That's what that means. Okay. One night, we were moving to Perry, Florida, and I'd gone up. And Sam and Steve had helped me, so I dropped them off in Pensacola, and I had a trailer full of stuff, and then I had the truck full of stuff, and Brother Ralph had let me use his truck and trailer, and I was coming back while I was between Pensacola and Tallahassee, about Quincy, which is about halfway in between, and I'm on the eastbound of Interstate 10. There is a car, kid you not, coming westbound on the same side. Now, this has got a bridge area. There's nowhere to go. There's just enough room to get over on both sides of the shoulder, and there's two-lane highway doing 70, 75 miles an hour, right? I see that coming, and I pulled over as far as I could. That car come by me at 100 miles an hour. I thank the Lord He allowed me to see that. I don't know, Jamie, if I ever told you that story. But I'm going to tell you right now, that scared me to death. I was, what in the world? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to see that. It's optional. We influence each other every day, all the time. Especially those of us in sin and continuing in sin. Paul said, God forbid that that would happen. These influences will either encourage others to follow the Lord Jesus or this world system. That's why we're constantly, whether it's martial arts or the church house, wherever we're at, scripture and prayer time. I know some of the folks thought it was odd yesterday, but we got them all around the table and grabbed a hand. There's some people that are going, what are we doing? Well, you know, it used to be the believers would kneel down together at the pew and start praying together. They would get in groups of and pray around things and thank God for their food before they ever ate it. The other night, I caught myself eating unsanctified food. I said, Jamie, this is wrong. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. We ask the Lord to bless the food. We ask the Lord to thank. We thank Him. God bless this food. Now, you think God's going to bless that whole cake you're fixing to sit down and eat? No, no. Lord Jesus, thank you again for another meal. Bless yourself for giving it to us. Praise your holy name. Our influence on others will either cause them to follow the Lord Jesus or not. That's plain and simple. Individuals will make their own way and make their own decisions. Let me say this again. Individuals will make their own way and make their own decisions. Now, yes, you're saved and you're a child of the Lord Jesus. Thank God for being a child of the King. Hallelujah for being a child of the King. But you still live in a very wicked, wicked, nasty flesh. Don't think that you're privy now to a righteous, holy, upright life. You and I will still make our own way, and we will still make our own decisions, and then wonder where we went wrong. What are our influences? This is why I'm very, very strong with this. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, number one, can correct me. Then there's three men in this country that I will listen to, that I will call and ask for some godly advice, for some godly counsel. I don't need 50. And chances are you don't need more than 5. Because you're going to get thoughts of this and thoughts of that, and they're going to influence your decision. They're going to influence your will. They're going to influence your way, when the greatest need for influencing of anything is this Bible. Sister Ward and I were talking about the 4 and 5 year olds. I love 4 and 5 year olds. 4 and 5 year olds, they fall asleep when you're preaching. 4 and 5 year olds will sit there and pull little girls' hairs. And there's the only one difference, and I've told you 1,000 times, I'm going to tell you one more time. The only one difference between a 4 year old and an adult. The size of the body. Influences. How are you influencing people for heaven, and how are you influencing people for hell? I love the 4 year old. The 4 year old, it just seems like their mind is starting to click a little bit. The lights are starting to come on, so you get a little bit of flicker. Now, I know some adults like that too, amen? I wouldn't dare name any names, Ray Mills. But I'm telling you, there are just some people that the lights are just kind of flickering. The 4 year old, the growth of a 4 year old that walks in the September class to May class, physically and spiritually. That's why up to the age of 5, you get all your adult life between the ages of 1 and 5. You realize that? That's why it's so important to get to them young. That's why it's so important to get them in the church house. That's why bus ministries are so important. That's why witnessing is so important, especially to the children. We had last year, 3 different classes I helped teach the golf. And I said, give me the little ones. Dave, you want the little ones? I said, yeah, because y'all don't want them. But I can help them, because I love that age group, because I are one. And if you're not, you're a liar. Amen. And I go to that group because I can give them 1 or 2 things, and they'll sit over there and they'll work on it. What do you want us to do? All I want you to do is this. You ready? Ready? Everybody, put your arms down. Just put your arms down. You ready? Here we go. Whoomp, whoomp. That's it. So let's do it. 1, 2, 3. And that's how I start teaching the golf swing. 1, 2, 3. Now turn that shoulder down. 1, 2, 3. And they have a blast. The little things. How do you influence others? By the way, you can influence by giving them too much. We are simple creatures. Give me 1 thing. Give me 2 things. Don't give me 3 or more. Oh, but I can multitask. You're a liar. You can't put 100% to 5 different things. You may think you can, but you can't. Oh, yes, I can. All right, well, go ahead and try it, and then come back to me and tell me how it went. Most of the time, they don't come back. How do you influence? How much do we influence, guide, or manipulate others? That's what's happening here. A lot of people will take what they think and what they know to manipulate. And that's what the Lord Jesus, it's impossible. Offenses will come. It's not that they're not coming. You'll either influence or you'll be influenced. It's the idea of being a leader as opposed to a follower. Listen, church family, if there's anything, and if you're watching today, stop being a sheeple. Look what they're finding out about COVID. Has anybody been reading the news? Of course, there's a bunch of news out there that's not putting it out. They're finding out that Fauci was nothing but a stinking, corrupt, money-grubbing liar. Hello? I knew it! God said, you know, when it first came out, the Lord said, Dave, just stay in the Word. Just keep leading. It's not real. Now, was it a sickness? Oh, yeah. And there were many, many that died from it. As I told you before, man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It was a terrible thing that I believe God took the teeth out of it. That's why we didn't have more die than what did die. Was it horrible? Absolutely. But the first time I spoke to Rachel about it, who's been in this world all her life, said, Pastor, this is SARS-2. And she was absolutely 1,000,000% right. Yes, I said that publicly. Rachel was right. She loves it. Now her head's going to swell and won't be able to get her out of the building. But she's right. It was. It was something that hit the respiratory system. If you can't breathe, you can't live. We talk about that in the martial arts. If you can't see, you can't fight. If you can't breathe, you can't fight. If you can't stand, you can't fight. That's the simple way of where we start with targets. Start with targets, the legs. Start with targets, the breathing. Start with targets, the eyesight. Did you know, yes, a punch is a very viable weapon. An elbow is a viable weapon. But did you know fingers to the eyes? You know the old Three Stooges idea? That's as viable as any other weapon you got on your body. It is. So what does the devil attack? Your breathing. What is that? Anxiety. Walking around like blind men. Zephaniah chapter 1. They're walking around like blind men. Running into the wall. Or the fact that they can't even walk anymore. Like so many in the New Testament, we saw the Lord Jesus. Go ahead, take up thy bed and walk. Y'all remember that in Mark chapter 2? That's the story where the fellers, they believed in the Lord Jesus so much that they dug down through the roof and let him down. Them boys come back down there. Or maybe they stood up there and they was listening to the Lord Jesus. They saw their buddy get up and walk, and we don't have to lift him up out of there. You ever thought about that? As he walked through the way, him and his buddies met down there, and they had him a good old time, praising the Lord for what he had done. Can you imagine what that was like? Now, there's a camp meeting. But like so many other places I've been and so many other meetings I've been, there's always those ones in there that are skeptic. There's always those ones in there that did not hear what the Lord Jesus was saying and doing. They didn't see what he was doing. Influence. How much do, and I wrote this, I didn't hand out my notes, forgive me. If y'all want them, I got them right here. But I put asterisks around this. How much do we influence, guide, or manipulate others? The rich man, he's so concerned about his family going into hell after he dies. He's concerned about his family after he dies and enters hell. Did y'all notice that? How many times does a drunk try to help his family after he gets help, but the influence that he's had over his life, now he's got kids that are drunks, and he's got a wife that's miserable, and he's got this, and he's got that. Your sin and my sin harms everybody in our life. Turn signals are optional. If one person does not make a right turn signal at that McDonald's early enough, how many cars heading northbound? Baby, that's that direction. She's going to be mad at me. She's going to beat me up. I'm going to get a hug and kiss out of this. Well, I know it's not just, there's a bunch of y'all. Which direction's that? Heading northbound in that car. How many other cars are going to go bam, 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 bam? Influenced by the idiocy of an individual that didn't put a turn signal on soon enough and makes the right time really fast because they have got to hurry up and they have got to get to their next McDonald's barf burger. Y'all with me this morning? Hello? Turn signals are optional. Sometimes when I turn out of my driveway, did you know I don't use my turn signal? I caught myself today using my turn signal. Well, you don't have to. You're making a right turn onto a runway, aren't you? You're making a right turn onto a city street. Hello? I know people. I've been known to do that. Because I want that person to know that I'm getting ready to go. Yeah, I'm turning that way. Hey, are y'all with me? Hello, did I make everybody mad? Because I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to help us. He should have been concerned before death when it's too late to be influencing anybody else. There are still dead people influencing my life. Boy, Brother Scott, somebody going to come back and write about a bunch of heresy I've preached this morning. There are dead people that have influenced my life. My dad still influences my life. Pastor Charlie still influences my life. Oh, the other day, I caught myself saying, "Hello, friend, how you doing?" Well, thank you, friend. I appreciate that. Brother Patterson, Brother Mike always said that. Thank you, friend. Appreciate it, friend. Man, Mikey, of all people, he's not here, so I can talk bad about him. No, I'm not going to. He influences my life. There are some great women in my life. Sister Shirley Grant still influences my life. Some 30 years later, Mom influenced. Now, Mom's not dead, but my mom of over 50, almost 57 years now, influences my life. How do you influence your children's life? How do you influence your grandchildren's life? How do you influence them? Now, the problem my family has is they don't like my influence. And they feel sorry for Mom and for Grandma. She has to live with that crazy Baptist preacher. She has to live with that man that believes this and believes that. My one son says to me, "Well, Dad, not everybody believes like I do, but like you do." I kind of hope they believe like the Bible teaches, though. How the Bible teaches. That's the answer. And it's funny how I see some things come out in them. I've been disappointed this week in my children. They know better. My daughter has disappointed me. And both my sons have disappointed me. And they know better. They know better. They don't want me around because they know they're wrong. And I hate it that Jamie has to pay the price. Grandma has to pay the price. I know that. It is easier to go around Mom and Dad's house with Dad in heaven glory now, I'll tell you that. Because every time I was there, he was always questioned. And he never showed, and you know, Jamie, I noticed this week. He never showed you any respect. When he would sit in his chair in his underwear and we were there at the house. That's disrespectful to me and my wife. That's, whether you like it or not, that's the God honest truth. My dad did a lot for us, but it's different around the house because, Dave, you got to go back to Florida? Y'all, it was 2000. May, June of 2000. And we had gone home. And my whole mind was, Lord, to put my heart, Dave, we got to go. It would have been easy to move from Perry, Florida to back home and find work there and be around the family and whatnot. But the Lord told me it's time, you got to come, you're coming back. You're coming back. And I fought a battle that I could have easily gave up in. And I've been one to quit on God twice. Real Marines don't quit. Dad always told us that. Marines don't quit. But it's funny how in life we quit. And I remember having to go back and everybody, and when I say everybody was against me going back to Perry, Florida. Where God used us for the next 9-10 months to help a church get to the next pastor. When God used us here and he used us there, especially at the camp meeting at Faith Baptist in Perry. Jamie's rolls were the bomb. You know what they did with those rolls? They found out ways to use those rolls. They would cut them in half, put a piece of ham and some mayo on them. They were so good. Some of them lathered them in butter. Others of them sopped up the gravy. Wait a minute. Do y'all know what sopping up gravy means? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know. Y'all are from Michigan. I just wanted to make sure you knew. Nah, I'm messing. I mean, we found ways. Brother Ralph and Brother James, those are only for the house. Jamie was told by those two men, you only make rolls for the church, for our church, nobody else. I loved it. It was a blessing. God used us down there. Brother Ralph's boy, Jimmy, was in and out of jail and had trouble. He was working down at the grocery store. And Brother Ralph come to me one day, and he says, "Yeah, I've been praying for Jimmy just to find some work." I said, "Yeah, Brother Ralph, I've been praying for that too." So I went that day, and Brother Ralph had influenced me. The Holy Spirit done been talking to me about it. And I went to John Elliott, our manager. I said, "Hey, John, I could use one person. How many hours could I give him?" "Well, Dave, I'll let you give him 20 hours a week." So I went back. I said, "I got to run. I'm going to run up to the church house. I know somebody right now that's not working, and he wants a job. He just got out of jail. And he wasn't there for very long, and it was for some really petty stuff." So I went down there, and Brother Ralph, I said, "Brother Ralph, let's go get Jimmy right now. I think I got a job for him." So I remember we had gone to the house there, Jamie, in the remember the front room where they had the pool table, and Jamie beat all of them at pool. Don't play sister Jamie on at pool, okay? So we're down there, and I said, Jimmy, come here. He says, yeah, Brother Dave, what's going on? I got a job for you right now. You got a job? But here's the thing. You're going to be working for me. And you're going to have to come to work, and here's the schedule. Here's what I need you to do. I've already got it cleared. Just need to go down there and get you some paperwork filled out, and you can start right now, work 4 hours today. I can? You know, for the next 2 years, Jimmy was the best help I ever had. He was early. By the way, for 5 minutes early, you're late. Remember that. He was there 20 and 30 minutes. A couple times I had to go by and get him. If not, Sister Margaret would bring him in. He worked there for 2 years. Well, it's a few years later, and I think we were here last time I talked to Brother Ralph. So that was 2000. So maybe 2012, 2013-ish. Brother Ralph's pastoring out in Virginia. And I called him. I said, hey, buddy, I've missed you. I love you. He said, Brother Ralph, well, if a lot of fellas knew you was talking to me, you know, they probably wouldn't have you preach there no more. I said, Brother Ralph, I don't care. You're my friend. And Brother Ralph is worse than I am about shedding tears. He can watch a baby commercial on TV and squall like a baby. Big old huge heart. He's half Indian and half Irish. Go put those two together. And he said, you know, Jimmy's in Alabama working. Got him a wife and a baby, and they're doing real good. You know what he's doing? I said, what's he doing, Brother Ralph? He's running a dairy department at a grocery store there. What you taught him. I said, Brother Ralph, that's what you and I taught him. That's what John Elliott taught him. And even old Mr. Day, yeah, I wish y'all could have known Mr. Day, but he was an interesting feller to work for. You're either going to influence people for heaven or you're going to influence them for hell. That's our influence. The good side of that, God wants to use you. Do you ever feel like you're unusable? You're not. If you're saved, with the Holy Spirit living within you as a saved person, you got to understand you're usable. Offenses in leadership are able to cause eternal ramifications. Do y'all understand that? Do you know that behind the wheel, you will either help people get to where they're going alive or not? They have eternal ramifications. Do you make others better while becoming better according to the Word of God? Do you guide others with the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a whole lot of things that we believe that are not in this book. Well, I think God did it this way. And I think God did it that way. We had a group here for a number of years that they were mad at me. Beloved, I could buy the wrong brand of Kleenex, and they would be upset with me. Couldn't turn right and it be right. Couldn't turn left and it be right. Nothing was right. Thankfully, God removed that cancer. But Pastor, we don't have a very big church. You're not going to in this day and age. We are smack dab in the middle of the great falling away. You understand that? And the big churches aren't big churches anymore. Parker Memorial, 800-900 people. They're just down to 150, 200. Because so many people are leaving the church. They're leaving the church because I don't need it. They're leaving the church because they don't want it. They're leaving the church because the world looks better. We have had families come in here, and I literally had one wife say, we would stay, but your music program is not what we want. I've had other families say, well, you don't have any kind of children's church. You don't have any kind of... Then come help me start something. We've had people come in with the bright idea. We're going to have a food pantry. I said, all right, you're in charge of it. Oh, no, 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 no. But if I say, well, let me pray about it, now they're mad at me for not starting it. By the way, the church is run by the Lord Jesus. And he uses the pastor and everybody in it to run it. Amen. And that's been one of the shames of Christianity the last 40, 50 years, is 10% of the people doing 100% of the work. Question. In your guiding of others, even in your own life, your decision making, are you a stumbling block in your own life and in the lives of others? Are you a stumbling block in your own life? Pastor, that's so true. I'm just my own world enemy. That is knowledge. That's a good thing. Failure is feedback. God doesn't sit in heaven with his ball bat ready to beat you over the head every time you make a wrong decision, make a wrong thought. I guarantee you he's going to convict you, though. If you're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, he's willing to tell you about it. Now, you're not going to like what God likes. Remember, I told you the most dangerous question you can ask is, God, what do you think of me? You better be ready for a roller coaster ride like you've never been on if you want him to seriously answer that. But are you a stumbling block? Do you realize how much you influence yourself and others? I've noticed that in some rehab. Sometimes my mornings are, I don't know what it is about my mornings. It's just, it's odd. We always make our bed. Years and years and years, I mean years ago, I was taught that. But there was a period of time when I would work night shift, Jamie worked day shift, so she's getting out of bed, I'm going right to bed. And I kind of had the thought that, man, if I don't make my bed, I'm liable to go back to it. Nestle up under the covers, kind of like Proverbs talks about the slothful person, slothful man. He turns on his bed like a door on a frame, just open and close. He's always on it, but that's a slothful man. What are we? We're supposed to be followers of the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you notice this, but there's very few times that he rests. Did you ever notice that? You ever notice on a boat where he's sleeping? He ain't worried about the storm. You ever notice in other places that he's sleeping? It's very few and far between. Who's doing most of sleeping? The disciples. What? Can you not watch with me for an hour? What's going on, fellas? And we do that. So I will make our bed just so I don't go back to it and climb under the covers. Doesn't life give you a reason to go get under the covers? We have some conditions today, whether it be bipolar or other conditions, where some people will lay on the couch and face the other way and stare at the couch and do nothing but sleeping. You want to know a good antidote to that problem? Right here. Christian, you got a lot of do's and don'ts. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's 10 million more do's than there are don'ts. Yes. And one of the greatest ones is not go out and live the world so that you might be able to influence them for heaven rather than for hell. Turn signals are optional. Do you know that? Following after the Lord Jesus will ultimately produce leadership that influences others for heaven. Well, I know I'm kind of big on this today, but if you're in the Word, you're becoming a leader. Don't be a follower. Be a leader. Now, this type of leader, though, is a follower of the Lord Jesus. Don't be a follower of David. Unfortunately, I like to color outside the lines. Anybody else in here like that? Coloring outside the lines? Well, I want to color inside the lines. We used to just color the line and still go over it. Following after the Lord Jesus ultimately produced leadership. You know, if I had a group of preachers here today, probably one of the biggest things I would tell them is, listen, that Bible ought to put some passion in your preaching. Am I too loud? You can raise your hands. By the way, this is passive. I go off to camp meetings and I get silly. You say, Pastor, why do you do? Because y'all need a pastor. You don't need an evangelistic preacher. Well, maybe you do. Especially the Mills family. Yeah, they need their soul set on fire a little bit. Get some. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Ray needs to wake up. Bless his heart. Hey, wake up, everybody! You and I can become leaders if we'll get in the Word. Stop being a follower. Always be a follower of the Lord Jesus, Brother Josh. But be a leader. Be a leader. A leader that can be corrected. A leader that's willing to allow the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you, to influence you. And then the great men and women of God that God's put in your way. There's beyond a shadow of it, there's no doubt that God has placed certain people in my life at certain times to make sure that David stays where he's supposed to stay. Because I can get off on that path. How about you? Y'all get like that? One more thing and I'm done, I promise you. Following the world's wisdom will ultimately produce followers who are deceived by sin, by corruption, and by wickedness. Y'all understand that? You will follow the world's wisdom. You don't need to go to church that much. You know what? Ladies and girls, you don't have to dress modestly. I'm amazed. Let me be careful here. I'm glad y'all are here and I'm thankful for it. But I've had a couple instances over the last 19 years of being here where individuals will come to church and wear shorts and cut up jeans. But if they went back home and were at their church, they would have a dress on. And vice versa for the men too, boys. Come in here. Look, this is God's house. King's kid ought to wear king's clothing. Amen? But it amazes me. What makes this church different from any other? Now, I will tell you this. I'm just glad you're here. Now, I've told you. The only thing we have in our dress code is everybody must wear clothes. Amen? And Brother Ray is not allowed to wear a miniskirt. Hallelujah! But on a serious note, brethren, the world will tell you, you don't have to wear that. You can wear whatever you want. The world will tell you, you only need to go to church 1 hour a week. You'll be fine. Hey, you only need 20 minutes of Bible through the week. You don't need it every day. The world will tell you, don't worry about praying. You pray for 5 minutes on Monday and 10 minutes on Thursday, you'll be fine. That's enough. That's what the world will tell you. And you know what you'll do? Is you'll believe it. And you'll allow the world to influence it. I'm amazed in the last 20 years how many times I've had people come to me and say, yeah, my family says we go to church too much. Are you kidding me? And then, now, forgive me for saying this. You may not agree with it. But as soon as somebody says that to me, I'm going to look at them and I'm going to say, the only way you can put up with me is if I'm in the Bible and in the church house. Because otherwise, I'm going to tell you what to think about that statement. To me, that's a slap in my face. According to the Scripture, that's a slap in God's face. That's that wicked man we read about in Zephaniah 1. Oh, the Lord won't do good. He won't do evil. He's not going to do anything about it. We can rest in our lees. It's all right. We can just kind of go with the flow and take it easy. Following this world's wisdom will ultimately produce followers who are deceived by sin, corruption, and wickedness. Well, turn signals are optional. What do y'all think? Would you rather have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones? And I'll finish with this. Pastor Charlie had a sign above his door as you walked out of the sanctuary, and it said, remember 200 eyes. There are at least 100 people watching you every minute of the day. What's your influence like? Father, this word is strong with us this morning. I know it's hard. But we influence each other. We influence each other in the right way, or we influence each other in a wrong way. We offend, become stumbling blocks, or God forbid, even folks not get saved or not want you, Lord Jesus, because of our life. Help us, Lord, to have that right influence. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. God's dealing with your heart this morning. Would you come to stand to our feet, every eye and every head bowed, every eye closed. God's dealing with your heart. Would you come this morning? Come on, Christian. Turn signals are not optional. God's working on your heart. Would you come on in? This, come, Come down here and just talk to God about it. God's doing with your heart. You come on. No one comes in the next few moments. We'll end the invitation. God's doing with your heart. Would you come on? One comes with an invitation. If God's in with your heart, you come on, friends. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. And I pray it's been a help to us that we would influence and we would have the right influences even on our own life. Lord God, help my heart. Help my life. I can think of some things even in my own life that can influence me and will influence me. And it hurts the church. It hurts Jamie. It hurts my kids. It hurts my family. Lord, help my heart to want to influence righteously and not to offend. God forbid you have to place that millstone around my neck and throw me off into the sea. I'd rather be an influence for heaven, an influence for help us with this word, Lord. This is hard on us. I love you, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want the notes, they're right.